I am totally prepared for this. I literally got out of bed about 5 minutes ago and threw my hat on, and here I am. Well, so this is as prepared as I'm going to be.
Right.
I feel like I should have brushed my teeth before I came on it.
I thought about that too, but then I decided not to. I can't be arsed. The beer washes teeth. I'm Ross. Joining me is my co-host Ian, and together, despite the fact that we seem kind of sleepy, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. It is a tough job. We haven't said it in a while. This is episode... Wait, hang on. Let me get this right. This is week number 174, podcast episode 84. That's what we're working on. And here we are. And we had a quick conversation, and we decided... There's double IPAs to drink. I saw this every now and then. I'm in Windsor pretty often because, as I've mentioned once or twice, my daughter does a sport. And so I'm in and out of Windsor kind of regularly. And I go into Schoolhouse because it's right there next to where she does her sport. And I saw the old Fuzzy Peach. And so, it was one that we hadn't done yet. I'm not going to say this yet because we have definitely not done everything. We have not done it all. There are several breweries that we have definitely leaned into, and we've had just about everything from there as far as I can tell. But there's always new ones coming out because, again, the Schoolhouse, I'm pretty sure that the Fuzzy Peach is from just this summer. And I think the Nine Locks Double Double is also just this summer. I think we are drinking 2024 seasonally appropriate beers for the first time ever.
Finally got there. We're not drinking things that we found under the sofa 3 years ago and covered in cobwebs and beetle droppings. We've actually got new beer. This is awesome.
We're topical. We're up to date. But speaking of washing the cobwebs off your beer, I rinsed my glasses and I rinsed my cans just to be on the safe side because they are kind of there in spider closet. Do you have some?
I did not. However, when I went to salvage these cans from the fridge earlier today, I had a tiny flood going on. I thought, what's going on with the fridge? Because they were swimming in water.
Oh.
And then I thought, oh no, that brand new fridge, not brand new because we bought it secondhand about a year ago, that we bought in the city and hauled down about 7 flights of stairs in the city to get here. I thought it crapped out on me, but it's because. Thank goodness for that. I turned the freezer off because I'm not using the freezer part of it. But as a result, it had all melted, all the stuff that was in the freezer.
Yes.
There. Oh, yeah. I didn't think that would happen.
You just decided not to have ice anymore and then were surprised to find that suddenly you had lots of water.
Yeah, I didn't know how environments work and science and stuff.
I don't know. Whatever.
No. Anyway, that's what happens.
We have another issue. And the issue is that for, I think, the third time in our history, our two beers have exactly the same alcohol percentage. So there's no obvious one to drink first. Alphabetically, Nine Locks goes first. Because it's Nine Locks before Schoolhouse and Double Double before Fuzzy Peach. That's the only thing I've got. If we want to go alphabetically, it does score twice on the alphabeticals.
I like that. I didn't notice until you'd said that. That didn't occur to me. I maybe I did. Anyway, but they're both exactly 8%. Yeah.
8.0.
I like that. Well, the one thing I have noticed straight off the bat, of course, is being a peach, being a this is the second week
yourself,
in a row.
Being a peach yourself.
Being peachy.
Yeah.
This is the second week in a row. You had a triple IPA peachy. No. What am I talking about? That was the apricoty peachy thing you had last week.
What was it called?
Was it a triple? That was a
something. It was a triple IPA, and Ian called it milkshake IPA. Peach vanilla IPA. Yeah, I didn't realize that. I'm definitely hitting hard on the peaches, but I did. It was a weird test because he gave me them and he didn't tell me what they were. And he's ordering them and getting them. And he's like, bring me a 13. And I have no idea what a 13 is. And this thick, hazy IPA comes in. And it smells, a little hoppy, but very smooth. Very, very smooth. And then when he said it was a triple IPA, I said, that makes sense. And I'm not driving anytime soon.
I did wonder. And I didn't know that after the first beer already you were. It's nice to watch it. And then seeing seeing, I didn't watch it live, of course. I watched it actually today in preparation for today's show.
In case we were going to come up.
That's right. But I did notice, I thought, because normally it's me that's feeling it. And I think, can people tell? Oh, yeah, you can totally tell. You can totally tell.
I just thought, enjoy yourself. I didn't have you, my co-host, with me, so I didn't know what to do with myself. Now, oftentimes when we have a guest, you start talking to them about rugby or something, and I just shut up because I don't know what I'm talking about. But with Ian, with the two of us, we were such chatters, and I kept feeling like I was, you know, monopolizing the conversation. And, oh, here's my life story and doing all of this and that. And I felt like I was monopolizing the conversation more so than I usually am when it's just you and I, or you and I and two other people, and I still feel like I monopolize the conversation. I like to think I'm a gracious host, but I'm fairly certain I am not a gracious host.
I didn't notice that whatsoever. That guy, when he was talking, and he talked a lot, and it was great to hear him talking because he knows what he was talking about. Not for one moment did I think, shut up, Russ, let the guy talk. He was getting plenty in, so he was giving as good as he could.
I'll have to, yeah, when I watch that back and try to do some edits on it, I'll need to check that out. The other interesting follow-up, I think this came up in the episode. He and I went to nearby high schools at the exact same time, so much so that when he went on to university in the Halifax area, all of my high school friends that went to university, he knows all of my high school friends from university because they all graduated and he knows them. So I'm dropping names. I'm like, what about this person? What about this person? He says, yeah, I know them. How do you know them? And I said, I went to high school with them.
Well, you know John.
Yeah. And we had the, you know John? Oh, of course we know John. I even know John's friend, John.
Oh, so do I. I'm living in Canada too.
John's John. So it was one of those, yes, it's a small town, and yes, we get by with that kind of thing, and we're all quite locals. However, speaking of quite locals and being all right with everything, what interests me about the Nine Locks, we'll just go over the name of it, but first of all, the can is lovely. It's just this explosion behind a big, huge hop sign on it. So this is cartoony explosion, green, sort of a yellow explosion on a green background, and it just says double, for double hazy, double juicy, East Coast Dippa, double IPA, 8% alcohol, and as I say, strong beer. But is the double sort of, you know, I mean, it's a double hazy and a double juicy, fine, and it's a double IPA, but are they using the Nova Scotian / Canadian description of, the most popular beverage at a Tim Hortons or possibly in Canada at the moment is a double, which is a black coffee, but with two cream, two sugar?
Which? Is it black? Yeah.
Double cream, double sugar.
I do not like those.
I would say that's it. That's what I assumed a double meant.
Oh, I thought it was milk and sugar. I didn't realize it was cream and sugar. Everyone goes directly to the cream.
We don't do milk here, do we? There's no such thing as milk.
I do. Canada. Whenever I go, I only get milk because the cream, too heavy of a fat content, it upsets my tummy a little bit too sensitive. Oh,
you're so healthy. One of the things that Rebecca says about now she's having visited the UK twice is if there's one thing that Canada knows how to do that the UK really doesn't. In fact, very, very quickly, the first time when we stepped onto British soil 2 years ago and we were ordering a coffee for the first time, she was going to drink coffee that wasn't in Canada. And we went to these, what's it called? Was it Starbucks on the... Okay, she's drunken coffee on the States, but there again, they would have cream as well. But outside of continental North America, qualify. We were on the train platform. So the first coffee we got was from a train platform from this little boutique in, can you call it a coffee boutique? No. It might have been a Starbucks. I don't know. Anyway. It was not. It was Starbucks. And I said, can I have, and I've lived here so long, Ross, as well. I kind of forgot. I says, yeah, can I have two coffees, please, with cream and one sugar, I think it was. I think we were just a little sweet. And she said, cream? We don't have cream. And I said, I was stumped for a bit. I was like,
what?
We have milk. And I was like, oh, yeah. In the UK, we have milk. We don't have cream with our
There's
coffee.
There's no 10%.
Absolutely not. Nobody serves. You can't even buy the grocery store. There's no such thing as coffee creamer, Ross. This is this is horrible. I know. But I've become so used to just asking for cream and maybe a sugar or whatever it is in Tim's I stop in. I've totally forgotten that we don't serve cream with coffee. Therefore, coffee in the UK is like immediately. You just said it. It's very calorific and it's thick and it's creamy. That's how a coffee is here. It's a watery affair over there. To be honest, the most you could get would be a 2% a milk. So it's even
half and maybe that's what they mean by half and half.
Yeah, and she did say, she said, well, one thing we do right in Canada that you don't is our coffee. And I'm with her on that 100%. Mm. But weirdly, I know we're already pushed for time. Weirdly, we have cream teas aplenty. You know what a cream tea is.
I know what an egg cream is.
No, I mean cream tea, though. We always call them a cream tea. And that would be a cup of tea. With a scone with cream and jam on it. So that's where the cream is. It's in an accompanying.
How do you put
a comestible?
Well, like whipped cream, like blend cream. Like what is the cream though? And how do you put cream on a scone?
Clotted cream. It is clotted cream. It is not whipped cream or canned cream or clotted cream, and it is quite delightful. But it's nothing to do with the drink itself, the beverage itself, but the side order that goes with it. A nice toasted scone with cream and jam on it. And depending on which part of the West Country you would come from, either Devon or Cornwall, would then qualify or decide which one goes first on top. The jam goes on top or the cream goes on top. If before you pass off this mortal coil, please treat yourself, I'm sure your mum's had a few, to a cream tea.
Well, fine. I have just looked it up, and the description of clotted cream is hilarious. Clotted cream is a thick cream made by heating full cream cow's milk using steam. So it's a cream because it's a cream that you make by heating up cream. So we're on the third spiral of cream here. That I don't fully understand. I will look up some more of that. But there are also some home... I shall send you the home recipes for make your own DIY clotted cream. They probably don't use the word DIY.
Please do.
I shall.
Please do.
I mean, I just looked up clotted cream, and it was literally the fifth link. But getting into the nylons, there is none of a description on the can, so I looked it up on the website, which proves that it is an up-to-date beer, and you can get this. I think you can get this in most of the LCs. It's definitely available out of Nine Locks itself down in Dartmouth. A double hit of hops and haze gives this truly special East Coast double IPA its name. Beautifully balanced, supremely hazy, and packing a huge citrusy hops hit. Double Double is an IPA lover's dream. Ah.
Mm. Yes.
Not the best sentence I was looking for.
No, but as you pointed out in recent said podcast, double, you haven't had a bad one yet. Double and triples, we've discovered our IPA-ness, I think.
It's true. I mean, we do still have the bad single IPA. Like, well, what was I discussing with, was that with Wayfarers with the Mats, where I said that smash, single
malt and single hop.
Those are my least favorite thus far. I'm hoping. I've done the math on this one. Since I can only get 16-ounce glasses in this province at the breweries, I'm going to try to figure this out because 473 milliliters, which is a tall can, 473, is exactly 15.999999 fluid ounces. So one of these cans should fit in one of these glasses, and I'm getting there. I want the whole schmitz.
I think I got a 16 as well. I think I'm about to find out. What's the immediate olfactory sensation you're getting, mate? Because mine is very hoppy, but grapefruit.
Really.
Yeah.
there's definitely a citrus. I'm not sure if it's like very strongly grapefruit, but I'm getting down to the delightful, the hazy bits at the bottom, because that's just it. The reason that I wanted to put this whole thing in, it was remarkably clear for the first bit, and then I want to get the haze. In fact, look at the very bottom of my glass, you can see it fighting. There is an invisibility there. Do you see the bubbles? There are bubbles at the very bottom of my glass there, because the haziness hasn't found its way to the bottom of the glass. All right, I have brimmed it. We are right up to the top. It is holding on for dear life.
It's like grapefruit juice. I'm watching the last dregs trickle out of the can. I too am trying to get it all in, and it has brimmed.
Because that's the trick. So with these doubles, these triples, and these IPAs, probably the single ones as well, I think you need to get it all, or at least it's a good mix of the keg, you know, it's on tap and this kind of thing. But out of a can, I think you need to get it all in the glass. Otherwise, it's not going to work. You're going to get two beers. You're going to get the top half of the can and the bottom half of the can. And even now, I'm a little worried because I've got, it's still transparent at the bottom, but the top of it is nice and hazy and delightful. It looks like that milkshake one that I had last week.
Doesn't it? And they're both, I mean, I'm assuming, Ross, that the fuzzy peaches was going to look pretty similar to this. They are both deeply furry, fuzzy looking things. Very hazy. No, that's like a foggy day in North Yorkshire to me. This looks...
Regardless, poured it kind of carefully. Maybe shouldn't have. I got a little bit ahead, but it went away. It went away faster than I was expecting. Pret.
Pret.
Cheers.
Fruity. Cheers.
Oh, very nice, citrusy, juicy up front, but then
juicy.
Do you get a midway burn of strong alcohol like you just drank straight whiskey?
Not personally, thankfully.
Oh, okay. I'm getting a bit of a burn on this.
Hey, go for it, girl. Yes, look at that. Rebecca's taken a nice, healthy chunk out of that glass. I'm pleased that she's going to join me on this one. Excuse me. You said it's pouring like, it looks a bit like the milkshake. It's very thick. Very thick.
Yes.
Very smooth. We're learning that doubles and triples do that, aren't we? Mm. That they are far smoother than the single hop versions.
Baby brothers. To this day, I don't get why. Why wouldn't they be doubly as abrasive if it's made without a good mix to it? This one, I'm not sure if it's just not the swirly mix in there or the haziness of it. I am getting a little bit of a bitter kind of burn. It's like I'm getting a heat. You know what I mean? When you have like a straight shot of alcohol, 40% of whatever, and you take it and you're like, oh, and it's like this little burn and you're kind of, oh, okay, I feel warm now. And I don't think it's summer. Maybe these would be better cooled down a bit more. They're in my coolish room. They are not ice cold, that's for sure. Did you have yours refrigerated and then out?
Well, it was refrigerated, as I say, in my swimming pool in the freezer and the fridge earlier on. But then I took it out about an hour ago. So the can is still cool, but there's condensation aplenty coming down the side of it. Mm-hmm. What I was going to ask you, maybe it would have benefited from me leaving it in a little longer, is you were talking about you trying to figure out why it was that these are smoother than the single. The way I understood it was, yes, they double up on the hops, so that would be where immediately alarm bells would be ringing for us. Yeah. But of course, but they also double up on the malt as well, so it does balance itself out, and it's due to the science bit that that brewers do, they manage to make these an awful lot smoother than their single hop cousins. A question I can throw at you straight away is, since the triple is still so recently in your memory, that was smooth, right? The one you had last week, right?
It was colder. He had them pretty cold. So I feel like a triple IPA coming off a cold tap, freeze out most of the burn you might get from it.
Does this look? They do when they're hazy like this, and they've got a little bit of excuse me, a bit of pesky foam hanging around in the glass as well, and they're sticking to the glass.
Yeah, it's some these nice legs.
For all they're worth, they have the look of an orange, like a pint of orange juice or of grapefruit juice. It's got that look about it because of its haziness, you know, an unfiltered, a pulpy fruit juice.
So you could be just sitting out on your deck drinking a glass of grapefruit juice or pineapple juice even. It looks exactly the same. And you're just, oh, hello, and come on over, have a beer.
They have the consistency. They have the whole look and feel of a fruit juice.
Well, it's double hazy. So supremely hazy, packing a huge citrusy hops hit, beautifully balanced.
Yep.
I would say it's... I am getting a little bit of a burn of the 8.0. Like, if this was closer to a 6, maybe a 6.5, I think I would sort of say, whew, that's a... I'm not sure what's going on, but you're tasting the high percentage. At least I am in this one.
I'm okay with it. It's not hitting me hard, to be honest. In fact, I've got to say, it doesn't have that acidity and that of course we always associate with the IPA sides. I'm finding it really, really easy to drink. I'm not being belted with alcohol either. I think it's really well balanced, full of flavor, juicy as all hell, a little bit dangerous because it's 8%. So that, and I would actually, and I think you're right. I think this deserves to be, I should have left it in the fridge longer.
It probably tastes better ice cold. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It's still quite
and
good.
We don't do cold beers, but there are certain beers that benefit from it to my eyes, and that maybe they don't freeze all the flavor out of it. Maybe these are examples of that.
Yeah,
my mind's already
a little bit more. But the problem there is if it chills some of the flavor out and then you're kind of drinking an 8%, you know, thinking, oh, this is just nice juice, and then about 3/4 of the way through you're sort of thinking, excuse me, Blue Eyes, is there any more of that double IPAs in the back room there?
Yeah, there is, but I'm not serving you any of it. This is really well balanced. I'm getting it. It's throughout. Throughout the mouthful I'm getting, and all around the mouth and going down as well. There's not a hint to me of anything that's like ooh, that's making me struggle over it at all.
Sometimes there's a little insertion of discomfort where it sort of says here, smooth, smooth, yikes, smooth again. But this, no, it's all there. All the familiar flavors. Are we just getting used to this, or are we finding these smoother and smoother beers?
That's a good question. Are we slowly coming around to it? You made that reference last week to Ian. You said,
are we starting to forgive the flavor for just being itself?
That's a good point. We might just be getting used to it. However, I don't want to get too used to it because, well, probably two reasons. One, as we have come to understand, maybe IPAs have had their heyday, and slowly they will be replaced by another, whatever that is, the new fad for the next few years. But two, I love my malty beers so much. I don't think I'm ever going to walk into a pub, I'll be honest, and say, I'm going to have the hoppy over the malty. I don't think that's going to happen. But I have certainly mellowed toward them in the last 6 months, maybe a year.
Well, last week, Ian Smith of Tapestry Beer Brand, he admitted, I am a hop guy. I'm a hop head. And I said, okay. So I think he was trying to win me over. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but it felt like he was sort of like, you should try this one. You should try this this hoppy one. And it was sort of an IPA and then a slightly different IPA. So by the end of it, we tried two IPAs. And then I said, you got any stouts in there? And he brought me a stout finally. And that was pretty tasty. So that was, then I was happy.
So very happy.
But where it says at the very beginning, an IPA lover's dream. Dream might be a bit of an exaggeration, but an IPA lover would, I think, at least like this, if not love this. This is a tasty, and the thing is, even for the non-IPAs, we're sort of like, yeah, I get what's going on here. It's not an uncomfortable IPA. It's a well-made IPA, and I feel like IPA drinkers like a well-made one too.
I wonder whether or not an IPA hophead wants the smash because he wants the hops. He wants, you know, I don't think, maybe he doesn't want the balance that you and I do. He wants the hit of the hop and he wants that. Maybe that's what they get. Because we don't want that, we don't want hop heavy servings. We want something that's far smoother and easier to drink for us. So I'm not sure that a hophead would necessarily, like we do, prefer a double and a triple over a single. Does that make sense to you?
I feel like there's two kinds of hop self-proclaimed hopheads. And one is... I moved that in the wrong spot. One is someone who is, I definitely like this flavor. This is very good. This is fantastic. And the other kind of a hophead is like that person who really likes spicy food, who proclaims to like spicy food, but only because they can say, I ate a scorpion pepper one time. Oh, I ate a triple ghost pepper one time. I bet I could handle my spice better than, I'll take anything spicy. And I feel like there's that kind of doubling down of, I had the hoppiest beer ever and it didn't even affect me. I didn't mind it at all. So it's a self-punishing, grandiose version.
I think they're in a minority. I agree with you. No. There is an element of macho-ness about beer. There is no getting away from it. And if someone can say, but it also goes with percentage. You can say, I had a 16% Russian Imperial Stout. And the other one said, oh, well, I had a 19% from blah, 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 blah. And there was also people that do say, yeah, you ought to try. That's the hoppiest thing ever. Let's have some of that. There is an element of that about it. So I hear you. There are probably two kinds of hopheads. Ones that just want the hoppiest thing that if you dropped it on the table, it's going to take some of the varnish off. And there are other people that just want to have a stronger but hoppier beer, which is what this is. But I will say, you know, you were saying, it was me that was saying it already. It's been over. No, the alcohol you were saying, you said it was like you felt like it halfway through, like you'd had a shot of the hard stuff. Well, my ears are already getting warm. Are going red. I feel like I'm slightly flushed. And it's not because of the weather in here today, because it's been a relatively cool day and the windows open. It's quite nice.
Yes,
so definitely what's in the glass.
Sometimes when it's really nice out, this has happened to us in the car the last little while, where it says, oh, it's delightful out. And then you get in the car and you've forgotten to roll down the windows and the sun has just cooked it anyways. And you say, this is... Yeah. Yeah. So the car is much less comfortable in the air and you can just sit out on a patio chair. That's what I'd like to do. Why can't I just sit out on a patio chair and just enjoy the outdoors, enjoy the summer without having to drive to Windsor all the time or chase my son and dog from other neighbors' yards. Just whatever happened to holding still? Could I just hold still? I don't think it's been a while.
You could take your beer to the bathroom. Let's be honest. That is the most private place possible. You say, I need to utilize the washroom for 20 minutes. Anyone else need it before I go in? Great. And you kind of sneak in there with a double IPA and just sit there and enjoy it.
I'm going to add into my little document, our spreadsheet and our pie charts of everything. I'm adding a new tab tonight, which is promotional slogans on our merch if we ever get really, really big. And you can take your beer to the bathroom, I think it's going to be one of our first shirts/hats. You know, drink NS Dry in the back, but then it just says you can take your beer to the bathroom and I will get my good friend Jamie to do the art, because the two or three times that we've dared him to do art, it has always turned out tremendously. I don't remember how the sentence occurred, but someone, one of us, said the sentence, turnip the mustache, and it became a character. And so he drew a turnip, just, you know, wearing, it was just, it was like a, oh, what were the veggie books from, they were UK books, and they were Lewis Leek, and they were all, you know, like someone's first name and then onion and something like that. They're very akin to the Mr. Men books.
The UK had these books. How long ago are we going back? Are these decades old, or so are they quite new?
No. Lucy Leek, that might have been it. And Bertie Brussels. Two stories from the garden. It might be Lucy Leek. I gotta... However, Turnip the Mustache looked very... You do not have one of these books behind you. I refuse to believe that this has just happened. No.
I don't. Okay, I don't have that, but it did remind, because I was saying, how long ago were you going back when you said they're from the UK? Because I don't recognize those at all.
I'm a kid. You know, these are books that usually my relatives send me from Scotland. For example, I have got two or three annuals of comics of Urwally. I've got them. I do know
about Urwally.
And the Bruins.
Oh, the yeah, absolutely. I am aware of that, but I never read it myself. But you were talking about the little books there, the children's books. I was in said Scottish land only last month, of course, and I was passing a secondhand store, of which we have millions in the UK. I mean, secondhand stores, charity stores, are a big business. And I was passing the one of the St. John's Ambulance, I think, or whatever, Red Cross Society, one of their stores up on up in Edinburgh. And I was just yomping past, and I was like, oh my God, that book. There was a book on display, and immediately I was transported 50 years back into the wisps and mists of time. My mom gave me a book from a series called Ant and Bee. That is, I don't know whether or not it's from the same vintage as your vegetable collection, but this is a book that I read as a kid to my mum and dad a million times when I was probably 4 or 5 years old, when I was learning to read. And I was passing the window, and this happened to be in the shop window.
Ant and Bee go shopping.
Yeah. And I went in there and I said to the woman, I was like, can I have that book, please? And it was 50p. It was a princely sum of 50p. Look at the artwork in that. And I was just so taken back with nostalgia. I couldn't help myself. I've got to have that book. I got it, and it's now pride of place on a bookshelf just behind me.
This doesn't look quite right. This is going to bother me. How about, what if I said Barba Papa? Did you ever read those books?
Oh, yeah.
The Shapeshifting Family? One of them was covered in hair. Those were tremendous. I don't. Maybe it's not Lucy Leek. Who would it would be? Line. No, some other version of Leek. And there was an onion for sure. Don't remember if there was a potato. But they were. And I'm looking up kids' books, but for some reason, all I'm finding is Julia Child information here. Children's.
Because her name is Child.
Oh, well, no, I look up kids. So Pickled Bums, Leeks for Baby, Pretend Play. No, this is actual food. I want a book series. I can't find it. But there were small square books like the Mr. Men series. I had the Mr. Men series as well. Why can't I find these? That's going to annoy me for the longest time. How did this start? We were talking about books and as children, and I had books, and there was the leek and the onion. How did we get here?
Work your way back again.
But I'm failing. I've got absolutely nothing. I'm trying to get down to the near bottom of this one. Maybe it was just the flavor. No, it wasn't quite the flavor. There was no hops. There was no hairy hops in this vegetable series.
you segued massively there, and I jumped on board your segue, and I sent you way off topic. I'm almost to the bottom. This time, I could. Oh no, Rebecca's had a little bit, so I'm going to save though a couple of fingers because I really want to. This never before have I wanted to compare like for like as much as I do now. I believe that these two are so similarly described, and of course their alcohol content is bang on the same. If you can't compare, not apples for oranges using citrus fruits. Oh, apples not citrus. If you can't compare these two like for like, then what can you compare like for like?
It's getting down to the bottom. There is still that sharp burn to it, and I don't think it's a bitterness. I think it's just a sharp flavor, so it's not quite getting there. And I know I usually, when I say an 8.5, that usually means that I like it a fair amount. It's just missing something, but this feels like it's good enough to warrant a low to mid 8. But it's I don't know if it's the strength that's coming off too obvious in the flavor. But honestly, I would think that that was a good thing. But I think it's if that is the case, then the strength is affecting the flavor, where it's coming through with some sort of faux bitterness.
Okay. Can I draw your attention to the can? I read this earlier on just after I finished pouring it, and then it went out of my mind.
Righto.
You know when. I was hearing what you were saying there, but it suddenly came to my mind again. You know how people say, "I can't even," and that's the end of their sentence.
How the children speak these days? Yes,
right. I always think, shouldn't there be something following that? That's like an unfinished sentence. But for some reason, those three words have become a sentence in their own right. I can't even. That's it. Full stop.
Breathe.
Okay.
Flick. I can't even, atrocities. Right. There's an end to the sentence.
I can't even finish okay here in sentence, that kind of thing. This one says, and I've read it a few times now, I'm thinking, am I missing something? Or is the can missing something?
Ooh.
Please drink responsibly.
Yep.
Brewed and canned by Nine Locks Brewing Company, 221 Waverley Road, Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. The Institute of Unfinished Research has concluded that 6 out of 10. So there is definitely a nice little pun there that they've played on.
I'm going to go with pun, because unfinished research is your giveaway of that sentence. I find that quite funny. I will give that a sensible chuckle.
I like that too. I read it a few times and I thought, they're playing with me, because I read that so many times and thought, they haven't finished it off. It took me a wee while to clue in.
Do you know what that is? It's not funny. Mm-hmm. It's not hilarious. It's droll.
Subtle. It's very droll. Subtle. I like it.
I see what you've done there.
Did they get an extra point for punniness in your sort of
since
your
I rate dislike deck. Puns in general, no. However, I don't consider that a pun. That's a play on words. And it's more of a themed joke, I think, sort of like a good wordy joke where there's the words in there. That's more my style, and I like that very much. It's not just a direct pun. It, you know, like you're telling someone who fishes too much that they have no soul. Oh, that's just a bad pun. It's just,
I like that. I've never heard that before.
Oh.
I like that.
I don't know why that one's forefront in my head, but it's there.
I like it. Rebecca just passed me a little note, and it she'll do that, and it was to do with the IPAs, and she's deduced that IPA could stand for
Ian Picks Ales.
I'm
glad the A wasn't used for a different word in that sentence. I thought she was just making fun of you.
Oh yeah, I thought of that. I hadn't thought of that, and you might not have read it properly over the video, but you did, thankfully.
I did. What? Yeah, I was trying to, for our audio listeners only. I was trying to keep that one quite classy and whatnot. Now, however, what are you thinking for a rating on that one? Are you reserving judgment for the second one?
Oh, No, I'm not going to review Judgment. I'm going to stand. I really like this. It's the problem I have, Ross, is that I don't think my memory for flavor is as tuned as yours is, because you have this ability, which I don't, and Rebecca has it as well, to remember flavors. They say, oh, this tastes a bit like that thing we had in August of 2022.
Well, kind of thing. I won't remember the time or the year, that's for sure.
Well, anyway, whatever. And I do struggle a little bit, but I'm going to have to go with what's in my mouth at the moment. I think this is a really good double IPA. Mm. I'm not going to say it's really good. What I'm going to say is it appeals to me personally. I don't think a hop head is going to completely implode over this. I really like it. It's a solid 8 out of 10 in keeping with its percentage. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that does sound right. I like that. I'm thinking probably just an 8.3 at the moment. I may change my mind after we try some of these, because I'm still, and we discussed this. Okay, hang on. We're going to discuss this in a minute, but first we're going to open up Schoolhouse Brewery Fuzzy Peach Dipper, says on the can, 8.0, Schoolhouse out of Windsor, Nova Scotia. But my favorite part of this, and I've only faulted Schoolhouse for this once, where the Scotian export is the wrong can color. Every other single one of their cans is the right color. They got it right. So the Fuzzy Peach is a nice, it's a pale peach can. The Schoolhouse Brewery right on the front, right on the top there. Just delicious. Same as your peach sticky note that Rebecca did give you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I do like that. Straight out of the can.
Slightly less grapefruity smell to me.
Yes, I'm having a hard time sucking any smell out of that one.
I love the fact that this is going to be peachy. I'm smelling peach.
No, neither am I. Smelling a little unfortunate at the moment. And oh, look at, I mean, that is a different, that is not hazy. Look, you can Zordon my face right through. Hello, I am here on the inside of a bear.
It's not hazy yet, but as you just said, you haven't poured the whole can in there.
No, it's true. I'm waiting for a little bit of the head to go down.
Yeah.
But
the hazy bit be there at the bottom.
What I was thinking of pointing out, we have been told by several brewers that the appetite taste profile of the average Nova Scotian might be going away from the punch you in the face over the top IPA drinkers. So when we were talking about the ones that were, I like an IPA because I like the flavor, to I like an IPA because I'm tougher than everybody else and I can have the spiciest whatnot in there, I'll do it all. What if the first part of the industry was all, oh, these guys are coming in for the craziest IPAs they can find, and they kept making them crazier and crazier, and oh yeah, we'll try this, we'll hop your head off, and they're like, no, I can impress my friends with this alpha male, raw, here we go, big tough guy. And then what if eventually the breweries kind of just said to themselves, wait a minute, we're making effectively not good tasting beer just so that these guys can have a penis swinging contest with each other. So what if those beers, they've stopped making those, holy crap, there's a lot of hops in this one beers. And so even the double IPAs are saying, no, there's got to be a mix. There's got to be a balance. It's got to be drinkable. So maybe we're not catering to the, oh, I can eat and taste everything. But we're now catering to people who sort of say, I like a flavor that's palatable.
So they're moving their clientele base. But as Ian was saying last week, that you don't pander to people. He didn't say it this way. This is the way I'm taking it. The NSLC will sell what sells, and the business will produce what sells.
That's
true. And they probably aren't interested in you and I that are like, oh yeah, we like a little bit of this. And look, they want the units sold. Therefore, they want what people want, and what people want still are the hops. This one, Ross. You couldn't, when I said comparing like for like, you couldn't get a more different looking
double IPA, could you? No.
Yeah, to the eye. And that's the entire drink in there. This is not a hazy at all. guess to look
what,
at. This
guess
looks
what
more
I
like
forgot
a lager.
To do. I forgot to read you the description. Fuzzy peach.
But it said fuzzy peach. And fuzzy. I'm fuzzy equates to hazy. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think it does. It doesn't have to. Fuzzy Peach Double IPA. Make some fuzzy memories with Fuzzy Peach, our easy-to-drink double IPA that boasts gentle notes of hops and peach. Thanks to the biotransformation of the hops during this juicy little numbers fermentation process, robust at 8.0% ABV, this pairs well with the bold flavors of your favorite strong cheese, sizzling barbecue, or aromatic smoked meats. Truly a summer beer that is ripe for the picking. I found a little tiny bit of haze at the bottom of the can.
Tiny bit. Oh, by the way, If I may go back about 5 minutes, Rebecca put her portion of this of the double into the freezer to cool it down a few degrees. We did kind of guess that it would be a slightly better brew.
We definitely have her here for her clever ideas.
And I've just taken a sip of what she gave me and look, the condensation is still outside. It is a summery drink.
It hit it.
So do I. I like it even better.
There it is. That's the answer.
Right. That one needs to be cold. It's really good.
You
think it's bitter?
Too bitter? Still bitter? A little bit?
That's what she said.
The head immediately went away, still went away very quickly on the schoolhouse. I don't think this one is going to have the legs on its way down the glass. It is
there's not a lot going on.
Brimming my 16-ounce glass. So I'm now starting to question whether I even bought a 16-ounce glass. Because here's my thing. When you buy a 16-ounce glass, should it fit exactly 16 ounces with a little bit rounded on the top? Or should it fit 16 ounces with like a gap? You know what I mean? I don't feel like it should be an exact... When you buy a 2-cup measuring cup, okay? We'll go into cooking terms. Where is the 2-cup measure? Is it right at the top? Or is it like, you know, half centimeter down? Just sort of say, oh, it's full, but well, we still have given you this little bit of leniency to our full glassness.
You were mentioning that law stroke rule that... If they advertise a pint of blah 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 and they only bring in a 16 ounce glass, you can fully say, "Excuse me, my good man, I ordered a pint, not this." But I think a 473. Let's think of it in a practical situation. If they advertised, by the way, 473 mils. Please do the math for me using your new computer device. How many ounces did that equate to?
For which?
For this can, this 473 can.
Yeah.
How many ounces are in this exactly?
15.999997.
Right. So it's 16 ounces.
Yeah.
Let's round that up. Why not? But I don't know. Why on earth then would you have that served in a 16 ounce glass? If you walk away from a bar at the craft brewery with exactly 16 ounces of beer in a 16-ounce glass, how much of that is going to be all over the floor? Because we've just poured it to the absolute rim. Why would you not have a 16-ounce beer served in an 18-ounce glass? Mm. So you've still got room for a little bit of head. And if it doesn't come with any head, you're still not going to spill it on your way back to the table. Common sense, practical, I don't know. Unless you're Germans, of course, in which case, if you're at a German beer fest, doesn't matter, because they just take a big thing and just scoop all the stuff off and it's going everywhere. And
yeah,
it's part
but
of the experience.
Glasses they serve you at a German beer fest are like 20, 30 ounces, probably. How much are those big
like
ones? I have to sneeze. Hang on.
Yeah. Look.
Whew, that's gonna...
Like Wellington boots with beer in them. Bless you.
Boots?
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
No, I meant the big, huge Thunder mug thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oktoberfest mug ounces. It's not brimming over. 42.
42. Thank you very much.
That's
how your beer should be
that's
served.
That's a pint right there. That's two Canadian pints and a little bit extra. And a 4 ounce taster. All right, I need to drink this. I need to get this close to my face. You're all set for the fuzzy peach.
I am. It's going to be too warm, isn't it? Because it came out the same time as the other one. Well.
Mine might be, but yeah. All right, cheers.
Cheers. An entirely different drinking experience.
Peach?
Where's the peach?
Yes, that's just a... It's a tasty double IPA because it doesn't taste uncomfortably IPA-ish. It doesn't taste overly hoppy. It doesn't taste uncomfortably bitter. It's just a... that's nice. Where the peach? Robust.
Where's the peach, man? Show me the way to the peach.
Yeah.
It's not in there, is it?
You said there'd be peaches, man.
I can't smell the peach. And
nope, couldn't. I couldn't smell
I can't
much.
Taste peach.
Did the first 8% beer deaden our senses? That's an important question to consider. How are Rebecca's faculties?
She didn't smell the peach. She did not smell the peach.
I'm adding that to our list of shirts. There it is. Hang on. We got, all right. What are our shirts so far? You can take your beer to the bathroom. And she couldn't taste the peach.
What do you think?
Smell.
She couldn't smell the peach, for sure. I can't taste it either. It's...
I can taste a tiny bit of sweetness, I think it's smooth.
It's again, it's quite easy to drink. But I think if you're going to say something is fuzzy peach, mm-hmm. it's got peach in the title.
It would be nice.
Then I kind of want peach. That thing with the watermelon and stuff, and you kind of get that. I know you were talking about King of Donair. I didn't really want to taste Donair in my beer, but if it had a taste of Donair, you couldn't argue that it was a Donair beer. This doesn't taste of peach, and that's a slight disappointment to me because I do like peach.
So do I. Well, I mean, I had a peach vanilla triple IPA last week, and it was delicious. It was incredible. This one's not doing it.
You picked the peach out by the taste yourself. You didn't even need to be told what it was. Ian was saying, "Was it taste off?" And you were like, peach. Absolutely.
I didn't realize I was going to be quizzed. That was a difficult being put on the spot. I thought, oh, goodness, I need to, let's make sure my taste buds actually work here. What's going on?
Well, Schoolhouse don't want to quiz it either because it's told us the answer on the front. I mean, they are the teachers, and this says it's the peach one, so I don't even have to – it's not even a quiz, and I'm still can't
– No.
It's fine.
When we read the description, we know the name of the beer, and we find that we're searching for it. Like you say, there's this flavor, and there is. It's in there, kind of. If I really use my whole brain and go searching with your own taste buds, saying, "Are you there? Are you there somewhere? In there somewhere? Where are you, Christmas? Why can't I find you? But for peach flavor in a beer."
It's in there somewhere, you're saying.
It would have changed that movie irrevocably.
I guess I shouldn't get too hung up on the name. If this beer now was the best, was the most amazing chocolate experience I've ever had in a glass, and to me it tasted like amazing double chocolate stout, and it was called Fuzzy Peach, I'm not immediately going to say, I'm not buying that again. So it is it's decent. I like it. I'm just searching for something that because I'm being told it's in it. I've gone searching for it. Maybe I'm being a little
strange. Smell on it now, which is like a. Let me see if I get this right. It almost tastes like. Have you ever been in a room where someone's making jam? That smell of hot cooking fruit?
Not as yet.
Okay.
I haven't had
it. It tastes like strawberry. It smells currently. It smells of someone making strawberry jam in your kitchen.
You said it smelled currently. That's an entirely different fruit.
Well, currently, because it smells, it did not have much of a smell at the top. But now that it's down a little ways, I'm getting a weird sweetened, a very sweet smell about halfway down, but still not peach.
I'm disappointed that Ross didn't get my pun there, my fruit joke, but it doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
We'll come
back
to that.
Was I not listening fully? I have mentioned that I hate... Do you know why I hate puns? I think I hate puns because I'm not smart enough for them. They anger me because I don't get it.
I think Donna would have loved the back of that can, personally. And I also think she'd like my current joke as well. Doesn't matter. I'll let it go.
Oh, the current... right. Currently, it didn't taste of currants.
I like it. I like it, Ross. It's a different experience. It's still very smooth. It's clear.
Mm. If you can night and day double IPAs, I think we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is odd. Which it's is perfect. Interesting. There it's, being it's a really, huge.
I will give it this accolade. It doesn't particularly taste like an IPA to me.
No.
And because it's a double IPA. So it's almost. I'm trying to find the words here. It doesn't to me have the kick that and I normally associate with an IPA or even a double IPA, which are normally much smoother for me. It's almost like you got the peach. Did you get the peach from the freezer when it was cold? It really is subtle. I don't know what to make of it. I really don't.
No.
I like it though. It's kind of struggling for words a little.
It's too basic. It's too basic for me. This is a strong, slightly juicy. It's a hoppy double, very strong. Like the percentage of it. How can your alcohol percentage be your only personality trait, but you just taste like a very smooth, very easy to drink IPA? And in fact, it might not be our favorite IPA. I've had some others. The Wave Breaker from Sober Island, the Headliner from Backstage Brewing in Stellarton. These are two of my favorites, and it's not quite up to there. The main thing it's got going for it, and this was the thing that I was kind of bringing to it, was what if the IPA, the spicy wing tough guy saying, yeah, I could take it all. What if they've gone away, or not gone away, but we're not catering to them as much anymore, and just sort of saying, what if we made something that tasted better, easier to drink, and was three times as alcoholic? Let's go. And now we're just into this realm of, okay, so this is maybe 50 cents more per pint, but... Whew. If you want to go full Nicolas Cage leaving Las Vegas, this is the one for you.
I think the reason why I'm feeling or getting the experience that it's not double IPA-ish enough for me, that's a terrible double IPA-ish, is because the other one was so hazy and thick and had that oddy about it that this one doesn't. So therefore, maybe with hindsight, drinking them the other way around might have helped me a little bit. But we didn't know. I didn't know. And of course it's IPA. It's double IPA. It's got the hops in it that people want from an IPA. But to me, there's just something a little bit. I'm smelling now a little bit of peach. But I'm not tasting it. It's just a bit. It's missing something. I don't know quite how to.
Well, it's confusing you.
It's confusing me, Rebecca.
Said. Definitely missing a peach. There is not of peach in there. So I have to. I want to be nice and give it a high seven or more. But honestly, with big. Bright, non-serif lettering, peach is on there. No peach, zero peach. Not just, it's a little bit too subtle. No, nothing. I wanted subtle. I would take subtle. I want bursts of peach flavoring, but I'm never going to get that. So it's got to be a peach double IPA missing the peach. It's got to be a 7.2. It's low sevens.
I think it's a I like it. I do like
smooth.
It because
it's easy and it's tasty. Yeah. Oh. But
yeah, yeah. It's a bit bland for me because if you shoved this in my face 3 years ago, I'd have been like, whoa, that's quite something. But the biggest, I've had so many beers now and quite a lot of double IPAs. Let's be honest, we might have had close to 10 double IPAs now. That's not knocking my socks off. So it's a bit bland in comparison, but I still like it. So go figure.
If it was more peachy, do you think you guys would like it if it had more peach?
Did you hear that? If it were more peachy, would we like
yes.
it more peachy?
Heck yeah.
If it had more of a flavor profile, something could really hang your hat on.
If it was...
It's Yeah, I don't know.
Did what it said on the can. Okay, it's strong. It says, I'm an 8% beer. I'm a strong beer. Yes, you are. This is a strong beer that will knock you on your butt.
Yep.
Fine. But I wanted something to go with that. Hat. You know, where's the... It's like when someone introduces you to things like apple teenies. And you say... Huh? And you're like, well, it's basically just super alcoholized apple juice. Like, ooh.
I want some of that right now.
And it's this.
Is that a thing?
Bright. Is apple teenies a thing? First of all, yes. Second of all, you need to go and watch the TV show Scrubs. Because I don't think it's incredibly dated just yet. It's a half-hour comedy show about young people going through medical school and then landing their first job at a hospital and all the ridiculous characters that are all there. It's quite popular.
I've heard of it.
I'm not sure how many, there's not too many good internet memes from it that I can think of.
I know of it, Ross.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes, but I've never seen it.
Yeah. Dr. Dorian, the main character, he was akin to always having an apple teeny. And when it came, they dropped a martini glass and it was like green apple green, bright green, like nuclear kind of that. It looked toxic, and I maybe this is why I'm able to remember these tastes and scents like you often say is, but when I watch a TV show and someone's drinking a thing, I can imagine what that tastes like in my head.
Oh,
if someone describes it the right way.
You can.
A non-marketable skill at all.
You have synesthesia or something? Because I can't even remember the taste of something I had, well, like half an hour ago, because the other beer that still sat there on the table with two fingers worth, I wanted to go back to that because I can't quite remember the taste of it. Would it help me to really qualify this one if I went back to that hazy again?
I was just describing to you that the smell of the empty glass smelled like when my mother would make jam in the house when I was 9, 10 years old.
I do have that ability
okay, good.
With Spam Fritters. And funny enough, you're right, you're sat at the schoolhouse. That's what I used to have at school when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And I can still, for sure, I can taste Spam Fritters right now if I think hard enough. And I want a Spam Fritter all of a sudden. Rebecca, would you go and rustle us up a Spam Fritter?
Jalapeno poppers. What about that? Do you have that taste in your mouth? With the cheese around the jalapeno on the inside of the deep fried breaded crust? Like a really good, a really well served one.
I do have a jalapeno story, but it's X-rated and I'll save it for another evening.
Well, that would be even more curious. But all right. I've got a last little wash. I'm going to have the last little wash of the peach because it was disappointing. And then I have been looking forward to going back to my last mouthful of the Nine Locks Double Double.
Okay. I'm going to do it the other way around, weirdly, because I still want to give Fuzzy Peach a second. I kind of want to give it second go.
Yeah.
I like it, Ross, and I'm going to give it. At the moment, I'm going to give it a 7.5. I don't prefer it of the two because the other one to me is more like a double. It's more almost like a double. It's a double IPA. It's a Northeast New England hazy double IPA. And I think I prefer those. I think I do prefer those hazy versions of the double IPAs rather than the ones that aren't.
Oh.
I'm going for a hazy one now.
Oh, the Nine Locks Double Double just hit. Oh, that's incredible. Mm. That's the flavor. That's some flavor right there.
It's full of flavor, isn't it? It's bursting with flavor.
Not like too much juice or too hazy or too punchy in the face. It's just that's the smooth, hazy juice one. But something's going on with this fuzzy peach one where the peach didn't hit and it came through as a really strong double IPA. I don't doubt the chemistry. I doubt the flavoring.
I don't think there's much. It's suffering as a direct result of the burst of flavor I'm getting from the double. And that might be the problem I'm having with it. If I go brush my teeth and then have a cup of tea afterwards, I'm not getting a lot of flavor of the tea. I'm still getting toothpaste. That might be my problem here.
Depends on how much cream you put in it.
Well, this is true. I've still been swigging the water between them, but the fuzzy peach has suffered massively because of the total flavor I'm getting from the double. So that's the reason why I think that I'm just not getting much at all. Okay. No, not much fruit at all. Yeah. But it's fine. It's fine, but it's not a winner. Double for me takes it by a reasonable amount.
Oh, for some reason, I thought I knew you well enough that I thought you were going to say a country mile.
I'll say that if it makes you feel better.
No, do you say that? I really expected country mile. Have you used that comparison before?
I would totally use that comparison if it were true in this case. A country mile to me is a long way. I don't think it was.
They are a bit close. I'll give you that.
Yeah. They're not. It's not a walkover, but it does take it by a considerable amount.
Yes. Try this with strong cheese. I wish I had some strong cheese. We should go out and get some $50 strong cheese.
I know just the place.
You do know just the place. I feel like we've told the story several times.
Right on your doorstep. I've been there once. I've only been there once. I won't go there again.
But I'm out of here. Good night. Never go back. We were a little over time, but that's fine to everyone except my wife and son, who might still be awake. But we'll go check. Ian and I are back here every week. We're here 8 p.m. on our YouTube page live, youtube.com/@drinknsdry. You can find Drink NS Dry or Drink Nova Scotia Dry on all the podcasty places except Google, that no longer does that. And I don't understand why, because they moved over to YouTube. That's a bunch of nonsense anyway. And then aside from that, you can follow us on we've got a Facebook page, we've got an Instagram, we've got a TikTok and things, and it's all Drink NS Dry. Just look that up and you'll find us on all the social medias. And if you're a brewery, I will find you. And hopefully, we got a special guest next week. You'll find out a little bit more about that later. We'll get it all sorted and figured out, but as of yet... I want to thank Ian for joining me as my co-host, as always, once again, and we'll see you next week.